So Lord, may you graciously help me. I'll turn your prayerful attention this evening to Ephesians chapter 6, and particularly looking at verse 14. Ephesians 6, verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. That's Ephesians 6 and verse 14. This morning we looked at the armour that was needed. God had instructed us through his servant Paul to put on the whole armour of God. We looked briefly at all of the different parts of the armour, and then a bit more on the first part of the armour, which is in verse 14. Your loins girt about with truth, and the necessity that we have the truth and know the truth, and the truth from the Word of God. Otherwise, how can we stand against Satan's lies if we do not know what the truth is? So we need to walk by faith. We need to be based on the Word of God. We need that truth, which is like a belt around us to guide us in the right direction, the way that we should go. But as the Lord helps us this evening, I would like to look more at this second piece of armour, which is referred to as the breastplate of righteousness. So this is the part of the armour that protects the chest, protects the vital organs. And we can think of that particularly in the Bible. It talks about the heart so much, and also sometimes the liver and the kidneys, those parts in our abdomen which are protected by this breastplate of righteousness. So the idea was when an arrow or something like that would be shot at the person, then the breastplate would stop that arrow entering into the abdomen and then easily killing the person, because if you've got the vital organs of the heart and so forth inside that space, and if they are stopped from working, then the person, it will be a fatal wound. So here we have the breastplate. That's physically what it was. We think today of the necessity. Policemen often wear Kevlar vests, bulletproof vests. Even today, very much, this is important from stab wounds and things like that. People have these vests on which give them protection so that people can't easily penetrate the skin and damage those vital organs which are inside our body. But thinking about this, what do those vital organs inside our body really speak of? Well, so much in the Bible is written about the heart as the centre of the affections and the feelings. And you see, when the work of grace begins in the heart of a child of God, that centre of affection starts to change. Instead of loving the world and the things of it, that heart is changed. So it starts to have a love to the things of God. It starts to have a tenderness over sin that it didn't have before. Before, it could just enjoy doing the sinful things and ignore the word of God. But now it becomes tender. It becomes a tender conscience that easily would get upset if we sin. It's tender before God. And it's the work of God's Spirit of regeneration to give us a heart that is tender. A heart that's really tender. Well, if you've got somebody that's very tender, they're also easily damaged, aren't they? They're easily hurt. If you've got somebody that's very tender, very concerned, if they put one foot out of line or say one word that's wrong, they're very tender. And in a sense, it's a good thing to be tender. And yet, you see, they're also very vulnerable. And you see, as God has opened our eyes to see the exceeding sinfulness of sin and made us have a love to the things of God and the people of God and the house of God and a desire to glorify Him, we have a tender heart. And you see, one of the pieces of armour is to protect that heart, that centre of the affections. Because Satan knows that if you've got a tender heart, which is a good thing, which is a precious gift from God, he can shoot his arrows at it and cause all manner of hurt and anguish in that heart. Because it's tender. You see, if you had a hard heart, you wouldn't care less. It wouldn't matter, it just bounce off. Don't worry about it whether you're accused of something or not. But if you've got a tender heart, it doesn't bounce off. You're tender before God. Like David, he cut off part of Saul's garment. We read his heart smote him. He was so tender. But of course, you see, sometimes Christians can get hard-hearted, like David did with Bathsheba and Uriah. And he's very, very hard-hearted. And it was a long time before he came to realize his sin. It took Nathan to come and visit him before his heart became really tender regarding that matter. So God's people can sometimes be hard-hearted, but it's a great blessing when they're tender. But if they're tender, they are susceptible, you see, to Satan and to fire things at them, and they need a breastplate. Well, what do we read here then? And having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. And this is very important, that we realize what righteousness this is speaking of. Because, you see, if we look in Isaiah 59, verse 17, there's a cross-reference there. Isaiah 59, just find it, verse 17. We read, "For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and as a helmet of salvation upon his head." So righteousness as a breastplate. This is talking about the Lord and how, you see, we need righteousness. Now, which righteousness is he talking about? This is the Apostle Paul writing it. And that's why I read two other letters that Paul wrote, one to the Romans and one to the Philippians. And here he most certainly shows in Philippians, he starts off by... Well, if I go look at Romans first, Romans first shows that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, both Jew, Gentile and Jew, that they all come guilty before God. But if you look at Paul's own personal experience that we read about in Philippians 3, he thought that he had a lot of righteousness of his own as he was a Pharisee, and he was impressed with it, and he was proud of it. He boasted of it. "Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh where he might trust in the flesh, I am more circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." This was his credentials. This was how Paul would present himself, as being a holy man. Somebody who ought to be looked up to and reverenced. This was a very high religious man. "But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ." He realized that all that religiosity, it was hollow. It wasn't real righteousness. It was only a form of godliness and denying the power. And Paul then, as it were, counts that righteousness. He calls it, "I count them but dung, that I may win Christ." So he throws away that righteousness. So clearly, when he says here, having on the breastplate of righteousness, clearly Paul would not be speaking of this breastplate made of his own righteousness, which he refers to as dung. No. In verse 9 of the chapter that we read in Philippians, he says, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, but which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." You see, this is what Paul is clearly showing. This is the righteousness. And this breastplate of righteousness then is that these tender children of God need to be protected with a righteousness that is not their own. It's often referred to as an alien righteousness. In other words, it comes from outside of them. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But it's not only, you see, it's a righteousness which means their sin has been taken away. And their sin taken by imputation and nailed to the cross. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. But also the imputation the other way, that his righteousness, his law keeping, his ever delighting to do his Father's will, his perfect obedience, always, all the time he was on this earth, his perfect obedience has been imputed to their account. So these people who feel that they come short, who realize that sin is mixed with all that they do, they are commanded here in this Ephesians 6 to put on a breastplate and to wear a breastplate which is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the breastplate. This is what they need to protect themselves, their tender consciences, from the center of their affections. You see, you think about it, the heart, if you have one strike through the heart, it can be fatal, isn't it? And you think of what Satan wants really most to do. We spoke of the battle this morning. He wants the heart of God's people out, away from God. He wants to have their heart instead of them being followers of Christ. You see, he wanted, that was the great contest that Job had. Satan said, if you take away all his external wealth and all his affluence and the hedge that you put about him, he will curse God. His heart will go away from God. Instead of loving God, he will hate God and curse God. The heart. And no wonder then we need a breastplate, something to protect the centre of the affections. And if you think about the Lord Jesus Christ's kingdom, it's a kingdom of love. It's a kingdom of love. And therefore, there needs to be a tenderness and a love coming from our hearts to the Saviour. And this is why we need that a breastplate of righteousness. But we sang this the first hymn about the happiness arising of the people of God. Well, it's a happy people that have become unhappy with their own righteousness. You see, all the time Paul, the Saul of Tarsus, was happy with his own righteousness. All the time he was a Pharisee. He was pleased with himself. But when the Damascus Road took place, when God shone into his heart, then he became unhappy with his own righteousness. He realized it was empty, it wasn't real, it wasn't genuine, and it would not stand him in good stead for time or eternity. It was rubbish. In fact, it was worse than nothing, because what it did, it gave you an appearance of being right when actually you weren't. It was deceptive. And so self-righteousness is deceptive. So have we become that happy people that have become unhappy with our own righteousness? All our righteousness is as filthy rags. Now, I'm not talking about our bad deeds. We all know that we do some things wrong, but look at the things in your life that are the best things you do. The most honourable things that you would say, look, I do this, or I'm involved in that. These are the most honourable things you do. And then to see sin is mixed in those two. And then what hope have you got if your best things come short? What about your worst? Well, are we part of that happy people that have come unhappy with our own righteousness? And therefore, we want the righteousness of another. But you see, in that hymn that we sung, let me just look it up, 735, it's talking about the wonderful blessing of knowing the joys of salvation. Happy moments, heavenly joys on earth begin. You see, the Lord's people, when they come into the kingdom of God, when the Lord shines on their hearts and brings them into the knowledge of the Saviour and the knowledge of His grace, the knowledge of His will, and they start to lay hold upon the hope set before them in the gospel, there's true joy in their heart. They go out in love to Him. But they don't always stay there, do they? You see, they've got to walk on. The disciples were able to go on to the Mount of Transfiguration, but they didn't stay there. They had to go back down. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. You see, one way Satan can deceive us is when we feel the blessings and that love that flows in our hearts to the Saviour in gratitude, we start to make that the security of our salvation. We start to say, well, I've had this love of Christ shed abroad in my heart. It was so precious. That's the ground of my foundation, of my hope. The love that I have in my heart. The love that you have in your heart to the Saviour is a fruit of that, what God's done for us. It's a response, a feeling of gratitude for what God has done for us. And it's absolutely vital. If you've never known the love of God in your heart, you have really no evidence of being a child of God. The love of Christ is so powerful. But the thing is, you see, that this Christian doesn't always walk with that feeling of that love of Christ in their heart as they would. And this is why this breastplate of righteousness is so vital. Because you see, feelings are precious, and we need a religion that is feeling. But if we base our foundation of our faith, our hope of eternal life on our feelings, what happens when our feelings go down? What happens when we're on a bad day? What happens when it seems that the sun is not shining and all's going difficult? Our feelings are in a low place. What happens then? Well, you see, what we're told to do is, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armour of God. We to put this on. And one of the vital pieces of the armour is this breastplate of righteousness. We're to remind ourselves that our salvation does not rely on our feelings. It relies on the righteousness of another. And you see, this is all linked to this belt of truth. It's the truth of God's word, what God has said. You see, if you look in Romans, Paul lays the Gentiles and the Jews, all of them come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jew and Gentile. And then he goes on in chapter 4 to lead us to, how do you then come to that faith? How do you then come to that justification? To be justified is to be made righteous. To be accounted righteous by God. If you like, to righteousify us. But there isn't such a word. So we call it justification. But it's really to the verb of just of righteousness. To make one righteous is what justification is. It's the verb of the righteous. So it is to make us righteous. And how is that going to be done? Romans 4 shows that it is, and uses the example of Abraham, how he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. So he shows that it's by faith that we come to lay hold upon that we're justified through faith. And that is the foundation of the believer's hope. The fact that he has been justified. The fact that he's had that faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore we're justified. And this, you see, this breastplate of righteousness is so, so important. And why this breastplate is so important, you see, is when we sin, and we will sin, we do come short. See, Satan would come and say, to those with a tender conscience. You see, those without a tender conscience wouldn't probably care less. But those with a tender conscience, and Satan says, you've done this wrong. You've done that wrong. You've fallen short there. If you really were a child of God, you wouldn't have done that. And you see, we listen to his lies if we're not careful. And a tender conscience, obviously, as it were, helps the devil in the sense that we agree with him and we say, yes, we have come short. And in one sense, Satan's right. But you see, I know Luther had that at one time. Satan came to him and started listing all the sins that Luther had done. And Luther said to him, have you got all the sins there? And so he put some more on, which were also Luther was guilty of. And he said, now you put on the bottom of that list, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It didn't mean to say that Luther didn't say those sins didn't matter. But that's the answer. That is the breastplate of righteousness. And that is what we need to protect us from the enemy. And you see, I felt that recently myself. You see, when we come short and we see that we don't have that love as we would have it, we don't have that love to God, and that those graces are not flowing as we would like them to, then Satan comes in and says, are you a child of God at all? Have you ever really believed? Was it all only just thinking that you run in the ways of his commandment 10 years ago? Put on the whole armour of God. And one of those pieces of armour is to guard our heart, the centre of our affections. And surely if you've got somebody's heart, you've got them, haven't you? If their heart's with you, that means so much. So with your children, if you've got their heart, that means so much. If they don't love you, and if they don't listen to you, and they don't want to listen to you, they hate you, well, whatever you do, you're in trouble. But if you've got their heart, and you see, Satan wants to constantly get us to think wrong thoughts of God and think wrongly of him and doubt his goodness, doubt his purposes towards us. And therefore, we need a breastplate of righteousness to protect us from those fiery darts of the devil. Have you been fired at recently? You see, and the more tender you are, the more tender you are in the things of God, the more Satan will fire those arrows at you. Because he knows that he's got somebody inside you, your conscience, to say, yes, Satan, that's true. And in a sense, he's quite right. We are sinners. But the fact that we're sinners is not a reason why we cannot be a child of God. Because we have a breastplate of Christ's righteousness. And what we've done is fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope in the gospel. And the hope in the gospel is that it's not by my works of righteousness that I get to heaven anyway. That's never been my reason. And yet there's something deep in the heart of human beings that constantly hankers back to trying to earn. And trying to earn their own salvation. And trying to trust on something base. Instead of trusting sovereign grace, to try and build up our own works righteousness. After we've come to a knowledge of the truth, we still want to build that up if we can. And you see, we need to take on this whole armour of God. We need to wear it 24/7. It's no point having, yes, well, I do know that, yes, there is a truth about the fact that we are righteous in him. Yes, we are. We have an imputed righteousness, but I keep that in the cupboard back home. Put on the whole armour of God. We are to put it on. It won't do us any good at home. It won't do us any good with the armour hanging up on a peg. It needs to be on. So that when the dark comes in and saying, but you've fallen. But you don't love as much as you should do. You think of the hymn writer said, where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Well, yes, that is true sometimes. We do mourn that we don't have the love that we once had. But that shouldn't be a reason where we say, well, we're not a child of God at all. You see, we need to then go back to have that faith. And to realise that what he has done, the faith in what Christ has done. Well, you see, really feeling is a fruit from faith. I think the Puritans used to say that faith is like the master grace. You see, when you're down and you don't feel that love as you would to the Lord, and you get in a cycle that goes down, a spirals down. But when faith lays hold upon the truth, that belt of truth, and we lay hold and said, I am safe, I have been redeemed, the Lord has promised that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, I have cleansed thee, I have washed thee. We lay hold on that, and then when the hand of faith lays hold on that, they said all the other graces start a running. You see, we start to then be thankful for what he's done. But you see, if we go the other way, we spiral down. Well, perhaps we're not a child of God. Perhaps we never knew him. Perhaps we haven't got anything. Perhaps we... And down and down and down and down we go. And the arrows keep coming from Satan. Put on the whole armour of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. You see, Satan would love us to be buckled down to the ground with our own, as it were, being sorry so much for our own sin that we lose our hope of salvation, lose the fact that our salvation stands outside of ourselves, not to do with our own righteousnesses. But quickly we fall. You see, in Psalm 71, this is David speaking so much about what he trusted in. Psalm 71, written near the end of the psalmist's life, I believe, psalmist David. In verse 16 it says, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. David, this sweet psalmist of Israel, the one that fought Goliath, the one that was the first king in Jerusalem, the one that had so many pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would sit on the throne of his father David. David is not talking about himself. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. And that's how David, you see, when he was up against it, as we looked at on Tuesday, how that everything seemed to be going against him. Ziklag was burned with fire, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Not because he was sinless, not because he could say, well, I've acted perfectly as this person. I've acted... No, he couldn't do that. He'd lied to the priest of Nob. And he caused the death. I've occasioned the death of all the servants of the high priest. 70 souls. Guilt lay on David. But David didn't say, well, there we are. Well, then all this has happened. Then I mustn't be a child of God after all. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You see, it wasn't his righteousness he was looking at. It was Christ's righteousness. For I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. Well, this breastplate of righteousness, what does it protect us from? It protects us from those fiery arrows and darts that Satan would throw at us. And the tenderer we are, the more damage they would naturally do. And yet, you see, it's God's work to make us tender. And yet, he loves that tenderness, and he's provided a protection for the tender soul. So that when they get fired at by the devil, they can say, yes, you're right, I am a sinner. But the wonderful thing is, I have a Saviour that saves to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. He says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you come unto the Lord Jesus and he doesn't give you rest, he's a liar like Satan. But God is not a liar. God is a faithful God. And if we come unto him with our heavy laden, with all our sins and all our need, and flee for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us in the gospel, he will listen and he will do it. This is one of our hymn writers picks up the point. If you come to Jesus pleading for mercy and you die in front of him pleading for mercy, you'll die as somebody never has yet died before. Because nobody's ever done that. Nobody's ever come truly seeking for mercy and died at that place. You see, because that's the nature of the mercy of God in Christ. And you see, this is the gospel, and it's a beautiful gospel. Well, that's the protection then this breastplate gives. But I want to now also look at some of the benefits, the blessings that flow from a breastplate of righteousness. And you see, having Romans 1 and 2 and 3 showing that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans 4 showing how that we can be justified, made righteous. Then in Romans 5 we have the fruit of that. Romans 5, it says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So simple, so profound. We have peace with God. Justified. You see, this is the fruit that flows from wearing that breastplate of righteousness. We are justified. We are in a state of righteousness. So that God looks upon us as righteous. But you say, but I come short. But that's not your standing. That's not who you are. You see, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We've been that there's a reconciliation taking place. God is no longer angry, you see. God is against the sinner. But when that sinner has fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before them in the gospel, then they are in a state of peace. Justification is a once-off act. We are justified. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We may not always feel it, but we have. We have. And may the devil not be able to take that from you. We have peace with God. And you see, when we have peace with God, then the gratitude starts to flow. Then the love starts to flow. And then you see the hand of faith has laid hold upon that the hope set before us in the gospel, and then all the other all the other graces go a running, as the Puritans would say, the hope and the love and the humility, all those run as it were as they start to lay hold upon what this Saviour has done for us. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. This is the state of peace. You see, and we read elsewhere that behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. You see, if we've been justified, we have peace with God. All our sins have been taken and put upon the Saviour, and therefore we are the children. We have then turned. Been moved into, you see, a status of sons and daughters. This is really important too. This is why we need that belt of truth, you see. If we go by our feelings, do we always feel a son and a daughter? Do we always feel that these things are so? We don't always. But that's why we need to put on the Christian armour. That's why we need to protect ourselves. That's why we need to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And yes, we freely acknowledge it's not a case of pretending that we're righteous. It's a case of saying, yes, we do come short. But we have one that is merciful and gracious and is able to save us unto the uttermost. As we come with fresh repentance for our fresh sins, that we may come with repentance, but not come with no hope. Not come in despair and thinking, well, I've fallen again, perhaps I'm not a child of God after all. You see, the benefits that flow from this breastplate of righteousness that we're to put on, not to just say, well, I've heard about this, I've heard about that doctrine. Well, it's good you have, but you need to put it on. And when you go into battle, you need to have it on. And when the darts come at you, and when the difficulties come, the trials come, and the going gets tough, we're to remember your identity. Your identity is really important. What is our identity? Are we the children of wrath? even as others? Or have we been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son? You see, in Romans 6, Paul takes this identity aspect. Romans 6, verse 11. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So reckon yourself. So in other words, when sin comes to the door, you say, I've got no business sinning. I've a new master. I'm not under Satan anymore. I've got no right to sin. I've got no business sinning. I've been justified. I've been brought into the kingdom of God. I've had my sins taken away. I've got a new master. I've got a new goals in my life. Not carrying on in the old way. Changes our identity to sons and daughters of the Most High. And this is a wonderful thing, isn't it? You see, it's one thing to be justified, one thing to be saved. But it's another thing to be brought into a family relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. To be called sons and daughters. That's something different, isn't it? You can be friends with somebody. You can have friends and they're kind to you. But that doesn't make you a son and a daughter, does it? You see, when the inheritance comes of families and, well, it's very clear which one was a son and a daughter and which one wasn't. They're just a friend. The sons and daughters, they often get the inheritance. But you see, we have been brought into the family of God to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. You see, he's not just like, well, they're just some friends. They're just some friends. We have an acquaintance with them, but there's no great benefits that flow to them. You see, when we come into the kingdom of God's dear Son, there's an inheritance that outstrips every inheritance that any will has ever left below, here below. The will of leaving Windsor Castle or anything like that would pale into insignificance to having an interest in the will and testament of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And he gives that to his sons and daughters, who he has adopted into his family. He has given them a status change. They're no longer children of the devil. They've got no business in it, although they sadly do sin. And yet their identity is the children of God. And they're to put on this whole armour of God, and they're to act and to walk as their children of light. They're to put on that whole armour of God, that breastplate of righteousness, and remember whose they are and whom they serve. And that they are accepted in the Beloved, you see. And that's the next thing that I want to speak about, the benefit that flows from this breastplate of righteousness. Romans 5 verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein you stand. You have access, you see. You see, if you're not in favour with somebody, they don't want to see you. They want to keep away from you. You haven't got access to them. You're not important enough. But you see, when these children of God have been justified, they've laid hold upon the hope set before them in the gospel, they then have access. That's why we can come boldly unto the throne of grace. Not because we've become particularly arrogant. We come boldly because that is what the King has told us to do. We're to come to him with access. Access that is not due to the fact that we have kept all the Ten Commandments and never sinned. We have access because we've fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us in the gospel. And that's our reason for coming. That's how we can come with that access and to be able to call him Father, Abba Father, our Father. To be able to call him Father because he's done these things for us. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We don't always feel it. And as soon as we don't feel it, the arrows are coming from the devil. Are you really a child of God? Are you really? How is it that you don't feel this? Ah, need that breastplate of righteousness. Go away, devil. I've got a righteousness not my own. And though I come short, and there's many things that make me sad about myself, but I've got nothing to be disappointed with my Saviour. He has kept the law and made it honourable. But then if you look in Romans 5 verse 3, you have another aspect that changes when you have this breastplate of righteousness, when trials come. Satan is a mastermind when trials come to say, there you are. If you were really a child of God, this wouldn't have happened to you. You wouldn't have had that tragedy happen in your family. You wouldn't have had that difficulty if you really were a child of God. It's exactly what they said to Job. If you really were, God wouldn't leave you in that position. Ah, a changed attitude to trials. You look at it in Romans 5 verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Here we are, we've got there in the end, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So these trials that come into our pathway, Satan wants to say, there we are, you're not a child of God. The breastplate of righteousness says, I have a saviour that loved me. He laid down his life for me. Why would he suddenly go against me? He's doing it for my good. He's doing it with an end in view, that I may have a closer union with him, so that I may be prepared for an eternal glory in heaven. A change to our view of tribulations. You see, instead of thinking of their God's, there is a chastening hand of our God, but it's always, the chastening is never with a purpose to ruin them. It's always to a purpose to bless them. Like a good parent chastens their children with a view, not against those children, but for those children's good. And that's what our God does. He's training us to make us ready and right for eternity. Well, this breastplate of righteousness, this lastly, is the only way we can die well, is with a breastplate of righteousness. When we come into the valley of the shadow of death, and all manner of troubles come, and all our sins as Christian, as he went through that Jordan, all his sins, he all seemed to well up, and he wondered whether he was ever a child of God at all, and his friend would go forth into glory, but he would be left behind. Ah, then to have a breastplate of righteousness. That all my hope of heaven is not built on my good Christian profession and my obedience to the law. No, it's built on the one I want to live for and die to. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, our righteousness. That's what we need, the righteousness of another. It doesn't mean to say that we are carefree and we don't care about sinning. If you've got a tender heart, you will care about sinning. But you won't let that care play into the hands of Satan and then cause Satan to say, well, you're not a child of God anyway. Because if you were a child of God, you wouldn't have done that. You see, that's how Satan will use it. And we need that breastplate of righteousness, to be able to quench all the fiery darts of the hell, the shield of faith, that we might be able to go on and press on, and not in arrogance, but in humble dependence upon God, that he is able to save unto the uttermost. Well, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on. It's no good leaving it in the back in your house or in your bag. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's cunning. He knows who's got a tender conscience. And he knows just how to wound you. He knows how to cast you down. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The truth of God. The truth of God's word. What he has promised. And stand upon those promises and plead the promises to God and to Satan too, to say, go away. This is what God has said. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.